Hi, and welcome to the Conservative Roots Podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 2nd, 2021. I'm your host, Robert. Hope you all had a nice weekend, nice Memorial Day, and especially to those who lost a friend, a relative who died for this country, especially you guys. I'm sure Kamala Harris had a nice long weekend. That friggin' hag. Today is probably going to be a bit of a shorter episode compared to normal. I just want to go over some of the most important stuff happening out there with you, give you my opinion on where this is all going. There's a lot going on that we can talk about, but a lot of it is still kind of a bit in a holding pattern. You know, we're kind of in the middle of things. Nothing really is reaching a resolution yet, but there are some definite developments out there that are great. Two main topics we're going to talk about again today is the election audits, how that's spreading to other states, which is absolutely fantastic. And we're going to touch on the Fauci email scandals, getting worse for this guy by the hour, it seems like now. Now, first, though, I do want to touch on a couple of things in the news that raise an eyebrow. All right, first one, yet another hack. And yet another hack on something that the Biden administration, Biden and Heels Up campaigned on. First, we got the Colonial Pipeline hack, drove up gas prices and created a shortage mostly in the southeast of gas. And that was after they campaigned against fossil fuels. They wanted to bring in the Green New Deal. They don't like gasoline. And they don't like pipelines, right? And now, after the left campaigns against eating meat, wants us to eat less meat, no meat, fake meat. Remember Bill Gates and his fake meat and everything that he wants us to eat? They want us to eat insects instead of meat. We get a hack on JBS, the largest beef supplier in the country, and threatening supply. It's going to drive up beef prices. Here we go again. Instantly, and I mean like instantly, the Biden administration blaming Russia again, okay? Jen Psaki in a press conference, who every day, I don't know how she does this, but have you seen this woman? Every day she manages to find some bizarre, loud, primary color jacket to wear. It's like blinding. It's like the most brilliant shade of blue that she can come up with. Well, anyway, she just had another run-in with her favorite media correspondent. Of course, that's going to be Peter Doocy from Fox. And he pressed her as to why under the Biden administration, why all of a sudden we're seeing all these major hacks like this. Her response was that it was the fault of the companies. And if you want to find out what's going on, go ask Russia. I'm going to take this from the Gateway Pundit. Jen Psaki blamed the private sector for getting hacked and told Fox News reporter Peter Doocy to track down the Russian hackers and have a good chat with them. So again, within a couple of days of this, right away, we're back to blaming Russia right off the bat without what I would call any real serious investigation of this, okay? Now, take this for what it's worth, but this morning, I've got a couple of friends that I talk to on chat all the time and, conservatives like we are. And one of my friends texted me a response to all this. Now, he's in cybersecurity, ex-Marine Corps, he's a vet. And he's been doing cybersecurity now for a very long time. He's worked with some of the largest companies that you can imagine. I'll name one so you have an idea of the scope of what he works with. He was working with Lockheed Martin. This is what he sent me this morning. First, he sent an article about this hack on Fox News talking about, renewed Russian aggression with a second hack before the June summit between Biden and Russia. And then he texted this right after it. The American people, for the most part, have zero clue the amount of effort and time from countless government and private incident response organizations that have to pick apart metadata on an atomic level and find bits and pieces of that data to come up with any attribution to a specific attacker, especially a nation state, especially one with enough nukes to wipe every living thing off the map. But the Biden administration figured this out in 2 days. An attack on critical infrastructure like the food supply chain is an act of war, nothing less. So passing blame around so quickly is a dangerous game. To me, that is absolutely spot on, okay? If you want to look at this at face value, according to the Biden circus, okay, Russian hackers have attacked our energy and our food. Now, not when Trump was president for some reason, but now. And again, against two industries that the far-left Democrats have campaigned against. 2 days in, and it's Russia already, okay? I'm not so sure about that. But it sure is convenient for the Democrats. Remember, it's always Russia. There's this built-in distrust already for liberals, especially lately. Trump is a Russian agent. The Russians stole the election from Hillary, right? The whole entire Trump administration, he was working for Russia. The Russians were going to steal the next election, and seemingly when they didn't, all of a sudden Russia wasn't a problem again. Now, back in the news, Russia again. I don't trust government in general, but the Biden administration, I'm sorry, I am not going to listen to a damn word they say about anything. And I find it kind of shocking that whoever did this, whether it was Russia, whether it was somebody sitting in a CIA office with Biden patting him on the back, or if it was a woman sniffing her hair, the blame on the companies right away, they're putting the blame on them and acting like these attacks like aren't a big deal to the country. That's a bit of a red flag to me. Energy and food. Two kind of important areas, don't you think? I mean, the entire country runs on fossil fuel, gasoline, oil, and we have a food supply chain that really can't be disrupted for very long. I know this wasn't a massive attack on the supply chain, but it's something. Those are the two areas of that were attacked, and those are the two areas that Democrats don't like, oil and meat. They act like this isn't even a problem for America, like it's somebody else's problem. I don't know. It could very well be attacks from Russia, attacks from hackers anywhere in the world. I don't care where it comes from. But to me, it's just odd that the attacks are aligned with the agenda of the Democrat Party. That strikes me as being odd, and it raises red flags for me. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I don't like it. All right, second thing that caught my eye is Iran. Two big incidents back-to-back in Iran, major incidents. First, and this all happened today, first their largest naval vessel sank. And now, a couple hours later, one of their largest oil refineries is burning out of control too. Let me tell you where I want to take. I'm going to take this story from Breitbart. Iran's largest naval vessel caught fire and sank Wednesday in the Gulf of Oman under circumstances yet to be made clear by Tehran. The IRNA news outlet reports multiple efforts over 26 hours failed to save the British-built ship from foundering in what is just the latest disaster to hit the trouble-plagued Iranian Navy. The blaze began aboard the Karg, named after the island that serves as the main oil terminal for Iran, at about 2:25 a.m., and firefighters tried to contain it, in the Fars news agency said. The vessel eventually went down near the Iranian port of Jask, some 790 miles southeast of Tehran on the Gulf of Oman, near the Strait of Hormuz, the narrow mouth of the Persian Gulf. According to AP, the Karg served as one of the few vessels in the Iranian Navy capable of providing underway replenishment at sea for its other ships. It carried heavy cargo and served as a launch point for helicopters. The warship, built in Britain and launched in 1977, entered the Iranian Navy in 1984 after lengthy negotiations that followed Iran's 1979 Islamic Revolution. Hours later, the Shahid Tanguyan oil refinery is absolutely on fire. This is one of the country's largest ones, too. I'm going to take this from oilprice.com. Never quoted them before. A major oil refinery in Tehran is now engulfed in a huge blaze just hours after, on Wednesday morning, the Islamic Republic's largest warship caught fire and sank in the Gulf of Oman under mysterious circumstances. Iranian state Tasnim News, in a breaking report, has identified it as the Shahid Tanguyan oil refinery, considered among the country's largest. Coincidence? Or are we now witnessing a return to the summer of 2020, which saw tit-for-tat sabotage attacks on oil tankers, military, and nuclear sites involving Israel and Iran? The timing is also interesting, given Iran and the West appear on the verge of completing a restored nuclear deal in Vienna, which means the U.S. would drop sanctions and allow Iran to pursue peaceful nuclear energy development. Israel has vowed to do everything to prevent such a deal, which Tel Aviv sees as providing a path to nuclear weapons. Multiple videos show a massive blaze in progress, billowing thick black smoke high over the Iranian capital. Now, could two huge disasters happen to a country within hours? Sure, I guess. Is that what you believe? Me neither. So let's keep watching Iran. Let's see what develops here. This could lead to something kind of big. This seems to be like two, I don't want to call them attacks yet, but two very, very mysterious events in a very, very short period of time. All right, now on to the big stories, the meat and potatoes, so to speak, of the episode. Now, we've been talking about the Arizona audits down in Maricopa County for a while now. They started on, I think it was around April 23rd. I did a whole segment on Joe Van Pulitzer, his qualifications when the media was trying to smear him in the audits. Well, since this hasn't been able to have been stopped, okay, not with the Maricopa board, those liars resisting everything, not with the threats of lawsuits, not with physical threats, media smears, nothing. The mainstream media right now is in meltdown stage, panic, just absolute meltdown. They're in tears over this. Rachel Maddow, all of them, every single one on the mainstream media to the left are beside themselves with this because they know that Biden didn't win. They know the election was stolen, and they know what happens if all the swing states are going to be audited. Now, in Maricopa, I think they did this last night. They added a third shift. Last time we talked, they were doing, you know, regulars during the day. Now they've added a third shift, so they're pretty much doing this round the clock now. They have around 1.2 million ballots done, I think as of this morning. They're down to 15 pallets of ballots left, I think, and it's moving fast now, round the clock. Great news. They're going to wrap this up pretty soon. In the meantime, the absolutely huge news, and this was first reported yesterday by OAN, is that Pennsylvania, and this happened today, was going to send down a delegation from their state legislature to meet with the legislature of Arizona and tour the Maricopa audit. And in fact, that's exactly what's underway today. They're on the floor being briefed. I'm going to take this story from the Gateway Pundit. Today, the Pennsylvania delegates are taking their behind-the-scenes tour of the audit and meeting with Arizona legislators in order to decide whether or not to duplicate the first forensic audit of the election in history. Will Pennsylvania become the second domino to fall? Now, I think it's pretty obvious that there, in fact, is going to be a full-scale audit in Pennsylvania, just like in Arizona. To be honest with you, I'm guessing that in a lot of towns across the country, they've probably already done little audits, maybe in local areas, towns, you know, cities. And I think a lot of this is maybe prompted state legislatures to start acting. I'm not talking about a statewide audit or even, you know, the largest cities. I know Philadelphia hasn't done a large scale audit, but I think some precincts in some areas around the country have been auditing. Pennsylvania will be absolutely enormous. I mean, the numbers. I've said before, other states may have cheated in more ways. I think Michigan is going to take that title, but Pennsylvania should have the largest vote switch by far. Arizona, I mean, you know, even though the info is going to be shocking, that should actually be nothing compared to Pennsylvania. And I think we need a shock factor. And I think that's why it's happening there now. I think that's why Arizona called in Pennsylvania and not Wisconsin or Georgia or something like that. They know what Pennsylvania is going to be. Now, Senator Doug Mastriano from Pennsylvania, he sent out a press release from today, and I'm going to read that for you now. A delegation of state senators from Arizona requested the appearance of Senator Doug Mastriano, Senator Chris Dush, and Representative Rob Kaufman to visit with Arizona legislators and tour the Maricopa election forensic audit. Let me stop right here for a second before I move on, okay? Maricopa is a little more than halfway done with their assessment of the fraud, right? They've gotten 1.2 million done. I think they've got 2 million total to do, roughly. So they're a little more than halfway done. Tell me something. why would they invite Pennsylvania to come and look at what they've found and learn how to do the correct type of audit if they hadn't already found election-altering evidence in Arizona? If Arizona hadn't found anything, if it looked like to them Biden was the legit winner, would a Republican legislature of Arizona be calling down the Republican legislature of Pennsylvania? Of course they wouldn't. This is good news for us, everybody, because it means Arizona has already got the evidence, not just of some fraud going on, but enough to overturn the state. Any and all of these swing states that does a Maricopa type audit is going to flip. PA, I'm guessing, is going to flip by 500,000 votes. Trump was up 700,000 votes at the end of the night when they stopped counting. You don't overcome 700,000 votes in the middle of the friggin' night like that. It's impossible. All right, back to Mastriano's letter. The Arizona Forensic Audit is the most comprehensive election audit in the history of the United States. The audit includes four main stages. 1, registration and votes cast. 2, vote count and tally audit. 3, election voting system audit. And 4, reported results audit. Transparency is a must in our republic. Every citizen should be confident that their vote counts. There are zero taxpayer dollars being used for the trip. Domino. This letter from Mastriano means that Pennsylvania is all in. Arizona wouldn't have invited them to go see what they were doing down there if the results aren't extraordinary already, and Pennsylvania wouldn't have gone if they didn't fully intend to do an audit like this themselves. Okay, that's two states already. Georgia, getting ready to do it too, and we get a report that their warehouse was broken into the other night. They haven't reported any theft of ballots, but the alarm went off, and when they got there, the door was open. Look, I don't trust any of these people. I'm aware that they probably have all the evidence already. I'm aware right after the election, the white hat hackers were saying that they have all the data transfer info from election night. So, you know, a lot of this might just be for show. But the paper ballots are important because it's physical evidence. It's evidence that people can, you know, hold and see and you can show to the public, okay? We've already seen states trying to shred ballots and evidence. We've seen what's at stake here. Every single swing state should have their ballots locked up, guarded by patriots 24/7, heavily armed. In fact, just for good measure, I'd take 50% of the ballots to an undisclosed location, guard them at the second location. If half were to be attacked, set on fire, blown up, whatever, at least you have 50% of them left in another location. But I'm just paranoid like that. I like to think of all possibilities and prepare a solution for every possibility. And I don't trust people. And something like this is so important. People should already be guarding these ballots with their life. How do you have somebody break into a warehouse where election ballots are being held? It's ridiculous to me. Anyway, fraud is coming out. And like I've said, I have no idea how the situation ultimately gets resolved. But these things are not going away, are they? It will be resolved somehow. If the swing states audit, the truth comes out. If the truth comes out, this administration cannot remain governing the country. Also, think about this. As the fraud is proven, okay, as they audit, as criminality comes to the light, think about all these low-level Democrats on election night, these volunteers, these regular people, okay, who all these, even these Democrat plants who are maybe one rung up the ladder, who are actually committing these crimes. You think that they're going to go to jail for life, or do you think that they're going to sing like a bird and give up all of the people above them who gave them the orders? I'm sure that there's a lot, and I mean a lot, of very, very nervous people out there right now. And I don't mean the upper people that staged all this. I'm talking about the election night people. You know, the people who actually took that ballot in their hand and ran it through the machine 2 or 3 times. The ones that actually took a box full of Trump votes and went out to the dumpster and tossed them in. These people have got to be frightened right now. Now, to wrap up the show, let's move over to Fauci for a little bit. Dr. Doom, Dr. Flip-Flop. Over a week now, I would say things are suddenly going very, very bad for this guy, and it gets worse by the hour for this clown. There have been accusations against Fauci for quite a while now. Now, not in the mainstream press, but let's call them citizen journalists, investigators, people doing actual research, the stuff that the press was supposed to do and they gave up doing for the last 30 years. They want to get to the bottom of the truth. These people looked at Fauci, knew he was a liar, started investigating this guy and started churning out stories, and they were absolutely ignored by everybody. Now, as it turns out, most of the conspiracy theory allegations against him that people were making have turned out to be true. And now there's a massive email dump that confirms that this guy has been a fraud from the start and lied under oath. And I think now this guy is in trouble. Now, first, just as a background into this guy's mindset, back in 2012, he was arguing that manipulating contagions was worth it, even if it risked a leak and a pandemic. Now, the series of articles I'm going to draw from here are from the Gateway Pundit, because I have them all pulled up here on my computer and I can just kind of go through them in a series. So all of this is going to be basically from Gateway Pundit if you want to go check out the articles. Dr. Fauci previously argued that conducting risky experiments and manipulating contagious viruses was worth the risk, even if a lab accident could lead to a deadly pandemic. The Australian reported on the newly unearthed comments Fauci made in the American Society of Microbiology in October of 2012. In an unlikely but conceivable turn of events, what if that scientist becomes infected with the virus, which leads to an outbreak and ultimately triggers a pandemic, Fauci wrote, according to the Australian. Many ask reasonable questions. Given the possibility of such a scenario, however remote, should the initial experiments have been performed and/or published in the first place, and what were the processes involved in this decision? Scientists working in this field might say, as indeed I have said, that the benefits of such experiments and the resulting knowledge outweigh the risks. Dr. Fauci was grilled by Senator Rand Paul for supporting and funding gain-of-function experiments conducted in the Wuhan lab. The Wuhan lab successfully isolated the coronavirus and were actively experimenting with species-to-species transmission. Fauci lied under oath and claimed the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute. Dr. Fauci not only funded gain-of-function research, we now know that he supported these risky experiments, even if the work could lead to deadly pandemics. Here's my biggest issue with this, all right? Besides him lying that they didn't fund this research, you can have the idea that the reward of this research is worth the risk, but why fund a lab in China to do it? If you're going to work on this kind of viruses and this is going to be dangerous and there's a risk of spread and everything else, why are you letting and funding untrustworthy people to do it? Why China? So anyways, for a long time now, the rumor was that Fauci's organization, with the money also from Gates, funded this lab in Wuhan to the tune of millions. Now, it turns out to be true. And what I find interesting, or let's say it's kind of just in the back of my mind. Out of the blue, you had Melinda Gates and Bill Gates announce their divorce, right? Soon after, like a week after, you get the Fauci email dump and they're tied to funding the lab. There's now calls on Fauci to resign. Arrest Gates is trending on Twitter and other social media platforms. I wonder if Gates' wife passed along some info, or maybe she knew that all of this was closing in around on him and then she just wanted out, you know, wanted to divorce, get out of this while she could. In any case, we now have 3,200 pages of Fauci emails out there. I put a link to them on my Telegram channel. If you're on Telegram, you can find me at Conservative Roots Podcast, and you can go through them all yourself if it interests you. It's just a link. It's 3,200 pages. That's quite a read. Now, for several years, our government officials who had visited the lab over in Wuhan, they thought it was dangerous. They prepared reports saying that it was dangerous. However, even though that Fauci had read the reports, knew what was going on over there, knew it was dangerous, his National Institute of Health awarded them millions to keep working on these bat corona illnesses, and he later lied about it to Congress. One of these dumped emails that goes back to January of 2020, not 2021, not this past January, talking about January of 2020 when this was literally just starting, all the way back to 2020, one of his colleagues is worried because part of the virus looks manipulated and man-made. So at the very start, Fauci knew that this was probably a man-made virus or manipulated. Okay, maybe the whole thing, you know, the logical thing is that it starts off as a natural virus. They're working on it in the lab. They make some manipulations to weaponize it. Off it goes, okay? But he lied about it. Said, no way, nope, it's natural. Even though back then he saw. In another one of the emails, Fauci admits that the mask that everybody is wearing, the ones that we were forced to wear for months, brainwashing people, putting them in constant fear. Even today, I'm looking around. I'm actually in Northeast New Jersey. I'm right near New York City. And I'm actually seeing now, finally, I'm seeing a lot more people go maskless. And it's just, it's such a heavenly sight, because this area here, you want to talk about sheep, you want to talk about brainwashed, you want to talk about scared people. You know, it's a Democrat stronghold, so all of them, tail between their legs, they're wearing masks like you can't imagine here. In the middle of nowhere, walking down the street, mask up, nobody around for 1,000 yards, and they're still, they won't even breathe fresh air when they're alone because they're just so scared of this thing. And that's what Fauci did to people. That's what this SOB did to everybody with his mask nonsense. We knew that it wasn't effective. I mean, it says so on the friggin' box that you buy the masks in. He admits they aren't effective because the holes in the mask, in the weave of the fabric, is way larger than the virus particles and go right through it. It's little more than a placebo. All he said is that masks can be effective against somebody like sneezing or coughing on you to catch the large particles. I think I have his quote here. Hold on. Here we go. Masks are really for infected people to prevent them from spreading infection to people who are not infected, rather than protecting uninfected people from acquiring infection. The typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. It might, however, provide some slight benefit in keeping out gross droplets if someone coughs or sneezes on you. I do not recommend that you wear a mask, particularly since you're going to a very low risk location. Your instincts are correct. This is responding to some woman that wrote to him. Money is best spent on medical countermeasures such as diagnostics and vaccines. Now, last summer, the Gateway Pundit reported that on the CDC website, I think it was in August, they finally quietly reported that only 6% of COVID-19 fatalities were diagnosed with COVID only. The other 94% of the people that were dying had on average 2.6, I think it was, nearly 3 serious illnesses like advanced diabetes, advanced heart disease, obesity, all these kind of comorbidities. Of those people that were already very ill, that had like 3 comorbidities, those people, most of them, were also advanced age, very elderly. So I'm sorry, but it's not a total shock that most people dying of COVID were elderly and sick. This was particularly true when this thing got going. It was true in Italy. Remember, it was all the old people dying. As it turns out, Fauci had this information as early as March of 2020. That's when the virus was hitting Italy. That's when it was, you know, really bad in Italy, and hadn't really taken a hold here in the United States yet. We were getting some cases, but it wasn't like it was overseas in Europe. He had that data in the emails, but he chose to ignore it. He chose to ignore it every time he went in front of the press, every time he had an interview, every time there was a press conference, and he got to go up there on the world stage and tell everybody about this disease. He ignored all of that information. Imagine our response to the virus, what it could have been, what it would have been, if he and the CDC had told the truth from the beginning of who's really affected by this virus, who's really at risk, what the risks truly are, and what the effectiveness of masks really are. We could have had an entirely different strategy to deal with it, and it would have been over with really, really fast. This guy now, he is all over the news. Not just conservative news, but everywhere. Hashtags for his removal are out there. He's now a proven liar, proven to be complicit in this. He's a cornered rat. Everything we said about this guy, where the mainstream media turned around and said we were conspiracy theorists, we were nutcases, we're all being proven right. People who doubted this guy, people who even questioned this guy, were taken down off of YouTube, had their Facebook suspended, their Instagrams. I mean, how dare you question Anthony Fauci, right? Notice the left always makes a god out of the wrong person. They always worship some loser like Fauci or Cuomo, and then later on it all goes south for them, and they never, ever learn. They never, ever learn. There's going to be, in the future, some other complete ass that these people put up on a pedestal again. I'm going to go a step further than the others and say that not only was he funding the lab, not only was he withholding information, I'm going to say that he was in on this from the very, very beginning, in on the plot to turn this into a weapon to get rid of Trump. Here's a clip from 2017. I've played this before on the podcast. I'm going to play it again because I think it's important. This is after the 2016 election, when the Democrats already knew that they could not cheat with machines alone because Hillary got beat. All they had was machines. All they had was a couple of percent to cheat. They thought that was going to be enough to put Hillary way over the top, not only give her a win, but a landslide. And unfortunately for them, Trump won in a landslide so big it blew past their machines. They needed to bring in mail-in ballots. That's the only way that they were going to win in 2020, no matter who ran against Trump. So let's listen to Fauci. I'm going to be playing this audio off my iPhone, so it might not be crystal clear. Hopefully it's easy for you to hear. Also, he says the most important thing towards the beginning and then towards the end. So there's going to be some boring middle part that I'm going to edit out later. So if it sounds like it skipped, it did. I just want you to hear two sections.
Given, as you heard from the introduction, that I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity and the privilege and the pleasure of serving in five administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak. And I hope by the end of my relatively short presentation, you will understand why history, the history of the last 32 years that I've been the director of NIAID, will tell the next administration that there's no doubt in anyone's mind that they will be faced with the challenges that their predecessors were faced with. What is for sure, that no matter what, history has told us definitively that it will happen, because infectious diseases, as I said 8 years ago in this article with David Morins and Greg Fokers, that it is a perpetual challenge. It is not going to go away. So the thing we're extraordinarily confident about is that we are going to see this in the next few years. Thank you.
So I like how he put the emphasis on history as if he's trying to overcompensate, to come up with something to tell you, look, history is teaching us that this is going to happen. And he says that Trump, the next administration, which was Trump, because Trump had just been elected, is definitely going to face a pandemic, definitely going to face an outbreak. And he's trying to say that this is nothing new because all of the past administrations have faced this. Really? Anybody remember this during George Bush or Obama? Kind of a new thing to me. And he was absolutely certain somehow that Trump was going to face an outbreak of a pandemic. How in the world would Fauci know that? And he even says, been talking about this for 8 years with my colleagues. Well, why didn't it happen during those 8 years? Why is it definitely going to happen soon? How did he know that it was about to happen? Kind of interesting, isn't it? How can you predict the pandemic is going to happen with that much certainty? And it happens to be released from the same laboratory that you helped fund doing risky research on a coronavirus that you knew all about. Isn't that friggin' amazing? I'll tell you what, if the audits prove all the fraud, which they will, and we have an administration change, Fauci should be arrested for crimes against humanity. He should be arrested, and all the Democrats that withheld that all these medicines, knowingly withheld all these medicines, knowing that they would work. Hydroxychloroquine, oleander, ivermectin, all of these drugs that could have been an absolute game changer in saving people's lives. It's an absolute crime. And the info that he was privy to early on that he kept hidden meant people died in order for Democrats to get their mail-in voting and take down Trump. Plain and simple, that's what it was for. And this little SOB, I think, was in on it. But like I keep saying, lies can't stay hidden forever. They can't stay hidden very long. And all of this treachery that we witnessed the past year, it's finally seeing the light of day, isn't it? All right, I'm going to end it here for today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please hit the subscribe button. And if you know somebody that thinks like you, that's a patriot, that might enjoy this listening to this show, please pass it along to them. Just a reminder again that I'm on Telegram now at the Conservative Roots Podcast. Not the Conservative Roots Podcast, just at Conservative Roots Podcast. You can find me over there. And basically over there, it's just a way for me to put up interesting articles for you guys, leave voice messages, just share info, you know, throughout the day when I can't get on here and actually do a show. It's a way to stay in touch, way for you to get information to share with your friends as well. All right, have a great night. I'll talk to you guys again soon. Take care.